How about that? Okay, we're going to finish up what we were trying to last week, Ephesians chapter 4. And always stop if we have a question. Ephesians chapter 4, Lawrence asked last week, week before last, when we talked about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what my statement was that these people were gifted people given to the body at a time when they were needed. In a time where the body was being built up, well, it's still being built up, where we didn't have the completed word of God. And the Lord had equipped or supplied the body with those people who had gifts. They didn't go to school to get these gifts. They weren't taught these gifts. They just were enabled by the Spirit to perform these gifts, to utilize these gifts. And it was all for the edifying of the body. You know, the word edifying means to build up. Like you're building a building. Paul said he was the apostle. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Not a apostle to the Gentiles. The apostle to the Gentiles. And in 1 Corinthians he says, I have laid the foundation. Right? And another foundation, no foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, and another builds on it. But let him take heed how he builds on it. So that's, what would he build? What would he be building? People. He's building people. He's building still in Ephesians, look at Galatians chapter 4, I believe. Galatians 4, that's verse 17. And Paul, you know, the Galatians, the problem with the Galatians saints were they got saved, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul had came in and gave them the doctrine, right, which was grace, which was a liberating doctrine, yes, which freed them from the yoke of bondage, right? But another teacher, mm-hmm, preacher, mm-hmm, came in behind them. Now, and this will tie back into what we were doing. Another preacher, mm-hmm, teacher came in who was not given by God, mm-hmm, to the body. He came in and he taught another doctrine, an accursed doctrine. And the Galatians took it, and that doctrine was this: you must be circumcised and keep the law to be saved. That's not Paul's doctrine. That's not the doctrine that the apostle gave to the body, the apostle from God. Right? And this is in Galatians. So it'll bring out the verse. So he says this in verse 17. They zealously affect you. Okay. Galatians 4, 17. Okay. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until what?
Christ be formed in you.
What does he mean, until Christ be formed in you?
Until you're established.
Until you mature.
Until you are mature, until you're established. He says, I travail in pain again until Christ be formed in you. Is, like Ed said, you're building up. The teaching is for edifying. Mm-hmm. It's for building you up. For growing you up in him. So you could be more like him. So Christ could be formed in you. You know, you hear it today, they'll say, well, we follow Jesus Christ, we are to imitate him, right? That's what they say. But really, the thing is that he wants Christ to be formed in you, that he might transform you. Not to imitate him, but that he might live through us. You can't imitate him. You can't imitate Christ. But he could be manifested in your life, in this body. So he gives us those gifts. And those gifts were men. Okay, now back to Ephesians. Let's get rolling here. He gave those men, and we talked about it last week, apostles, right? Prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, right?
Right.
All right. Start at verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now, you think about the Ephesian letter. This is adult doctrine for those who are mature. For those who are mature in Christ, they're not at the stage where the Galatians were. They're a little more advanced than that. So look at, before we go to verse 4, look at chapter 1. And if you notice in Ephesians, you have every chapter just about tells you what Christ has done for you. What you have in him. Look at chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful,
in Christ Jesus. That's me.
Faithful. Mm-hmm. Faithful to what?
The word.
Faithful to the doctrine.
Yeah.
Which, what does that mean, faithful to the doctrine?
Believe.
They believe. Not only, he said this, he says, to the saints.
Yeah.
That's the believers. Mm-hmm. And to the faithful, mm-hmm. he says, you're walking in this. Mm-hmm. Christ is being formed in you.
Okay.
It's on a higher level. Your maturity is on a higher level now. That's why when you talk about these things to a person who hasn't had Christ formed in them, it might put them to sleep. It might confuse them, because it's heavy. Watch this. Roy just said this. Look, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, mm-hmm. past tense, mm-hmm. blessed us with some spiritual blessings.
All.
Mm-hmm. All spiritual blessings in
Christ.
He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, my pastor would say this. Our pastor would say this. How many?
All. Paul.
Okay, name them.
Okay.
Uh-oh. See, when you got to name them, then you're like, well, if you don't know what they are, how could you enjoy them?
Exactly.
Now, my wife says, we watch Hoarders. And the people, they have things in the house, they don't even know where they are.
Right.
But when you start moving them around, they say, well, don't take that. I'm going to use that. I was like, you didn't even know you had it. You didn't know you had it. And we talk about spiritual blessings here, or as opposed to idols. If you take a man and say, well, you don't need to baptize, water baptize anymore. You have a spiritual baptism. He didn't know that he has the spiritual one, but when you try to take it, the water from him, he said, don't take that. I need that. Why? You're not going to use that. You're not going to use that. Are you?
No.
What good is it? It's no good. You're a hoarder. You're a spiritual hoarder. Get rid of it. Get rid of that. He says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Notice, in heavenly places.
Amen.
In Christ. If it's in heaven, guess where it's not?
Not down here.
It's not down here. No cars.
Mm-hmm.
No houses.
No riches.
No boats. The stuff they tell us to get blessed with.
Prosperity.
But where is it? It's
heaven.
You can't put your physical hand on these. These are in heavenly places, in Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us
in
him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love,
Amen.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, in his grace, he hath made us accepted
in the beloved.
Amen.
In whom? In who?
In Jesus
Christ.
We have
redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of some of our sins.
Of sins.
Most of them.
Of sins.
The ones we confess.
Of sins.
We have, he didn't say we want it.
Mm-hmm.
We what?
We have.
We have it. We have redemption of sins according to the riches of his grace. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, look down at verse 11. He says, in whom we also have what?
Obtained an inheritance,
being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will,
Amen.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of
your salvation.
The gospel, I like that. The gospel of your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Which implies what? If I say that's the gospel of your salvation, that might be a gospel of somebody else's salvation. And it was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, he can say this thing, you have to make it personal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The gospel of your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were
sealed
with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look down to chapter 2, verse 6. Well, start at verse 4. He says, but God, well, we might as well go back to verse 1, right? And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, when you read a verse like that, how could you wonder if you're really saved? He said he has made us.
Yes.
What? He had raised us up and made us
sit together
in heavenly places. He made us sit together in heavenly places. That is, all the shortcomings that may have been, well, not may have, all the shortcomings that we all have, he just take up the slack. Like he said in chapter 1, he has made us fit. Well, here he says, well, he has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, all this is, and all this is not just for you. Okay? He said he did it according to the good pleasure, to his good pleasure, according to his counsel.
Yeah.
His purpose.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what I said. Now, I said that when we started, that when you, when he's talking to the Ephesians, this is not the kiddies, not for the kiddies. This is some information that, and it's for every saint.
Amen.
But when he didn't tell this to the Corinthians, did he?
No. They couldn't eat meat.
They couldn't eat meat. A meatball like this would choke the Corinthians. Wouldn't it? Okay, he says, for by grace, and hath raised us up and made us sit, verse 6, and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When he sent his son, he said it was, he displayed in through his son the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You think God loves us?
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Could he stress it any more than that?
No.
He'd say, yes, I love you. He says, no, my love is excessive. It's exceeding kindness. It's my exceeding grace. And it's his great love wherewith he loved us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. The salvation is not of your own. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes.
All right. Flip over to chapter 3. Verse Verse 1, Paul said this. For this cause, he talks about some more about what God's plan is. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, here's all those doctrinal words, all those trigger words where we talked about in the weeks previous, where he says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, and prophets. Here we coming up to it now. To his holy apostles and prophets by
the Spirit.
By who?
The Spirit.
Not another man. Not a teacher of the law. By the Spirit, right? He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Yes. Paul said, I'm the apostle. I have been enabled in this position. Now, like my friend told me, he didn't go to Arabia and study this. That's not what the scriptures support. The scripture said God enabled him to function in this office. Right?
Right.
Okay. Unto me, verse 8, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. To the intent. Why did God give you the mystery, Paul? Why did God give you this message, Paul? Why did God make you the apostle, Paul? Why did he reveal these things to you and the prophets? Why did he do that? Why is he giving this message to the body? He tells you why. He says, to the intent, the end result, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith or faithfulness of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, he says, all this is to show the principalities and powers something, and I want to show it to them by you. By you. By us. Now, get you some fellow believers together and tell them this. Did you know that right now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places are watching you? And how you respond to this doctrine. Huh? They think you gone nuts. You know, the angels, they always say that with guardian angels, not quite, but you know they are watching you right now. They're watching you and how you respond to the information that was provided by these, by the people that God gave you, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Let me say it a different way. when they look down on us and they see this doctrine working in us, us responding to God in a favorable manner, they look at that and they say, wow, that's something else. Because they know what you used to be. Satan said this when Job was serving God, just an example. He says, I tell you what, God said, if you remove that hedge from Job, what did he say? He'll curse you to your face. That's what he said. He said he's only serving you because you got him boxed in. You have no choice. The principalities and powers, they're looking and say, well, you remove that hedge from her, and I bet you she won't serve you. Guess what? There's no hedge. That's what grace removes the hedge. And he says, now, watch him. That's why it's so important when he says that. Look at verse. Flip back to chapter 2. Chapter 3, Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 17. And we're gonna go back up and pick this up too. That's why when he gets through telling us everything that we have been provided with, he says, this why is verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk what? Verse 17. Not as other.
Four seventeen.
He says that you walk.
Other Gentiles walk
in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That has everything to do with this, with information. That's why when we pick up these verses, you're going to see that he's done everything that he can do for us. God has everything to make us victorious. Okay, now, chapter 4, Ephesians. So we found out that God has his purpose. Ephesians is really a book outlining his purpose. Where God has had a plan that was from before the foundation of the world. And he let us in on that plan. What he intends to do with this whole system, heaven and earth. And he wants to use you and me to do it. He didn't reveal this to Abraham. He didn't reveal it to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses, to David, to Daniel. He revealed it. All right, let's read on. I won't say it all. I won't say all at one time. So he does this now. Chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Okay. What's the vocation?
The job that we have.
What's the job? The job that you have. Not just, what's that?
When pastor teaches,
not that yet. Not that. He's saying this for us. For us believers.
We've been
called, right. That's part of it that he talked about in Romans. But this is right now.
Oh, the doctrine.
We have a. He wants to use us.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, "We are his workmanship." Mm-hmm. In chapter 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He said, "There's some things that I want to do with you."
Okay.
That's what I'm saying is. The doctrine is important because he can't get over here and say, I beseech you to walk worthy of your vocation when he just spent four chapters telling you about a vocation that you don't really know about.
Okay.
You know, you get it. He gives you, this is your job description, X, Y, Z. And then you get in and they say, everything clear? You say, yeah, everything clear. And then you go back and you come back and check on them, and the guy's still sitting there. We just hired a guy. I was telling my wife this the other day. We just hired a guy. And he came in and he says, oh, yeah, I know the system. Yeah, I know this. I know this. I know that. He knew everything. And my manager asked me, he says, how's he working out? I said, I guess he's okay. And he says, what do you mean? I said, he already knows everything. I mean, he can't be trained. He already knows everything. So he's like, he does? I said, well, he thinks he does. But when I turn around, you know, I'm working and I turned around and he was facing me, looking at me. Oh, thinking,
seeing what you're doing right.
Well, I don't, maybe so. But that's a man who was unclear on his job description to me. So when the Lord looks around and he sees us sitting down on the job, that means that maybe he wasn't real clear on the job description. This is not a spectator event. But he can't make you do it, so Paul says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord,
beseech you.
What does that mean?
Beg you.
I beg you. Mm-hmm. After all that stuff he laid down, everything that God has done for us, all the spiritual blessings we have in him, amen. And he begs us. He could say, he does own us, but he can say, you need to do this. I own you. Right? He says that we should walk worthy of the vocation where we are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he lays it all down. He says, here's the people, right? Here's God's purpose. He's got one purpose. He's got one plan. He lays down the unity of the Spirit, right? He's got one objective. And then he comes here, he says, but for every one of us, and this is Paul, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay. So we should all be, he says, one. He says, but I got a lot of people involved in getting this one thing done. And this is Paul, he's talking. He says, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, for this, because, look up here for a second. He says, when he's talking about to every one of us, not just us, but the people that God has used to get this message to us. He says, but to every one of us is given grace to function. And he says, wherefore, for this cause, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. It's a little thick there. Okay. But he says, now this is the cross. We know he died, right? Mm-hmm. Now he says, now he that Now he that
descended?
When he ascended, verse 8, okay. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When he ascended up on high. We know God raised him from the dead and set him where?
At the right hand of the Father.
At his right hand, at his own right hand, far above all heavens.
Amen.
Right? He says, verse 10. Verse 9, I'm sorry. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Here. Lower parts of the earth. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Mm-hmm. Now, when he said fill all things, if you fill something, that means they were what?
Empty.
They were empty. Okay. I'm trying to formulate this. Prior to Christ dying on the cross, who was in charge of the kingdoms of this world?
Satan.
Satan? You got a verse for that?
Well, Adam made it up.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just challenging you. I'm just saying, do you have a verse for that?
He's the God of this world.
Okay.
That's
good. That's when Jesus came, when he was baptized, the Spirit drove him where?
Into
the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the devil told him, he says, all these are kingdoms, all these kingdoms are mine, and I give them to whomsoever I will.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't argue with that, did he?
No.
Because guess what? Like Annette said, they were his. Satan's objective, he says, I will be like the Most High God, the possessor of what? Heaven and earth. And Sharon just said that he, even in Ephesians here, he says he's the God of this world. But when Christ died, you take all these people back here, all these Old Testament saints, right? What happened to them? What happened to them when they died?
They went to paradise.
Okay, they said Abraham's bosom, right?
Yes.
And we know that from Luke, there's a gulf between the two of them, right?
Yes.
We'll say this, the torment side. Well, and this is the paradise, or Abraham's bosom.
Okay.
And of course, people are populated here. Okay. Those are people. But when the scripture says this in Hebrews, that these people were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Because until Christ dies, who has the power of death?
Satan.
He has the power of death. And who has the keys to death, hell, and death? Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is so vast where I'm trying to abbreviate it without leaving too many questions. But when he dies, not only does he unlock That was like a type of a prison for those people. Although they were in on the comfort, they were, because he didn't have the power. He didn't have the, he had not gained the rule and authority back. Okay? He didn't have them. So, when he, I think the verse says, and help me out, he says when he died, that he destroyed him that had the power of death. So you can picture that here's Satan. He has the keys of hell and death. And when he gets Christ on the cross, he says, finally. We finally got him out of the way. And they drag him down. And I, even past this, you know, there's different levels of the underworld. And not to go too far, but he wanted to drag him down to the lowest pit, to the lowest hell.
The one he's going to.
But can you imagine Satan's surprise when he says, well, we got him. And they finally get him. And he says, okay, like you open the dungeon. This is just for us, for our thinking. And he says, get in there. And he wants to shut the door behind Christ. And he says, no, you get in there. Or he strips his keys off him. Well, he can't fight him now. He strips all his authority and power, and he goes here and he says, not only am I going out, I'm taking them with me. And when I'm on the way out, there's where the, he talks about the in Peter, where the angels that were reserved on the judgment. Mm-hmm. And this is, we'll read the verse in a minute. But anyway, to take these people out and ascend far up above all heavens. And now everything, not only the kingdoms on this earth are his, but the kingdoms in the heavens are his now. Because he's fulfilled. The key event is to be the redeemer of the world. Redeem means to buy it back.
Amen.
You get a coupons and it says you have you need this to redeem by a certain time. Well, when he died, he was able to buy back everything that Adam gave up. He had the power to do that. Romans chapter 1 says this, that Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Wasn't he?
Yes.
When he resurrected, he says, all power is
given to me.
Both where?
In heaven and earth.
Did he say that?
Yes.
He said that. Both in heaven and earth. And he says, therefore, go therefore and do this. Now, let's get back to this because I can see the time is... Hold your hand here in chapter 4. Now, Paul quotes this verse out of Psalms, Psalm 68. So, flip back to Psalm 68. Now, that phrase, captivity captive, when he led captivity captive, we'll try to get a little more light on what he's speaking on here. Psalm 68. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse 1. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Now, this is what's going to happen in the second coming when Christ comes back to finish the job.
Okay.
The only reason he hasn't finished it now is because instead of him punishing the world, Paul, in his secret message, said this is a time of grace now. He's using this as a time of grace. Okay? verse 3. But let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby didst thou confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. And all this, he's talking about God coming back to set up his kingdom, to defeat his enemies, and to set up his place here on earth, to pronounce God as the victor over his enemies, to release his people who were in captive or in captivity. Verse 10, thy congregation hath dwelt therein. O God, thou hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Look, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. What word?
The gospel.
I'm the victor.
Oh.
I'm victorious. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Now, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, she that yet shall ye be as wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. You can file some of this away. It'll come back up later. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a hill high as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. And we're going to stop reading that, but the picture is this. He quotes that Old Testament passage about the Lord. That's a prophecy about the Lord's victory to come over Satan, over the enemies, the delivering of the captives back here. And Paul quotes it. He says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Paul talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ, he's telling you right here that at the cross, when he died, when he was buried and resurrected, that he was the total victory, a victor. Total victor. And he says, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? Back to 4. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? Look, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, look, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what?
Perfect
man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He says, I gave these gifts, I gave these gifted men to tell you something. Amen. That I'm the victor. Okay. And when you walk in the information I give you, you're the victor.
Okay.
And you're working with me.
Okay.
We got this sold up. That's what he said. He says, we got this sold up. And they know it. The principalities and powers in heavenly places, they know it. You just don't know it.
Right.
That's why they want to keep the message from you.
Amen.
If they didn't keep you, in this other stuff, you don't even know there's a battle going on, a heavenly, a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Amen.
He says, when I died, it wasn't weakness. It was the culmination of a great plan where I showed my total wisdom, the superiority of my wisdom over the adversary, the superiority of my strength over the adversary, and you get a part of this. He says, now, I'm going to send you some people to tell you, I'm going to send you the word and how great is the company of them that proclaim it, the victory. So we get the apostle. He says, he's a winner. Christ is a winner. You're a winner in him. They tell you the same thing. He should tell you the same thing. He did back there. They don't do it now because that's not, it's over. It's over. He's not equipping pastors and teachers today to do that.
Supernaturally.
Right. Because you know what? The only way you're going to get it is if you get it. If you believe it. Because he's equipped you to pick it up. And he says, this is the battle plan. All you got to do is look in there and you can see I'm the winner. You're the winner. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through Jesus. He said this. He says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said,
you have to get your man around.
You have to get your, in this
spiritual battle going on.
Listen, when he goes to Ephesians, look at chapter 6. Ephesians 6. And he finishes up with that. Roy. He says, verse 16, finally, my brethren, be strong
in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord and the what?
The power
of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wait a minute. He says, you know what? It's not a physical. He says, it's not a carnal wrestle. It's up here. Now, I know there's a lot of things that I miss only because I couldn't get it out in a way that I can. It's too much background. But if you're a Corinthian in knowledge, you can't get it. That's, he says, I'm giving these people to you to grow you up. That that when we talk about this, you won't walk around in a stupor. The Hebrew writer said this. He says, I want to tell you about Melchizedek, but I can't. I can't speak particularly about him. Did he say that? He said, we have many things to say about him of which we cannot speak particularly now. Wonder why he couldn't speak to them particularly about that. Because he said in the previous verses, he says, for the time when ye ought to be teachers, you have one that needs to teach you the what be the principal things of grace. You're not built up yet. And he said, but that's not my aim. I gave these people to you that you might be a big boy, that you are a big girl, to grow up and appreciate these things. So much so, we're so far gone now. When I say so far gone, we're so far down the edification scale is that we don't even need these anymore supernaturally because he's already recorded it all. He's thinking that this is stuff that we sit around the table and talk about on a daily basis.
And we should.
And we should. And like I said earlier, I said, but if the edification is not there, if Christ is not formed in us to that point, we're gonna walk out like this. I didn't get it.
It takes time.
But don't be upset about that. You use that as motivation.
Right.
He says, my aim is to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. Didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's his goal. That's why he says, that's why I'm taking these beatings. That's why. All right, last verse. He says, pray for me. Verse 19. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 6:18. And he says, and for me. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as what? As I ought to speak.
Amen.
Now, you can't go everywhere. You can't go everywhere talking about this.
Yeah, that's so true.
You think I'm crazy? You think I'm crazy right now? And I'm talking about this, don't you? You'll be honest. You think I'm crazy right now? You say, Brother Frank, wow. Much learning doth make thee mad. I know it. But all you got to do
pick it up.
Is pick it up. Right. But that's where, when I said, that's why I stopped. Because you go look at me like, that's why I said, no, never mind. But they're not being supernaturally given today.
Okay,
got you. And common sense tells us that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by supernaturally given?
Supernaturally given is where God said he gave some. He gave some. Now, Paul didn't have a completed scripture. None of these officers had completed scriptures.
But some say they are called by God, though.
Yeah, that's
as far as.
Oh, some people, some out now.
Some pastors.
Okay, let me ask you this. How would you know if a man is called by God? How would you know that today? Anybody?
He knows.
If he was telling you the truth out of this book, right? doctrine.
Now, we're all called by his gospel. We're all called. That gets you in. That gets you in the family. But he says this, Michael, in Timothy chapter 3, he says, now if you want to teach these things, he says, you desire good work.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'm going to call you. He said, if a man desires the office of a bishop, if a man desires office, he didn't say office of an apostle or an office of a prophet or an office of an evangelist. Matter of fact, he tells Timothy, Paul does, he says, now it's all over. Now he said, you do the work of an evangelist. He said, now, if a man desired, if he desired this office, because he still knows that we still going to need some information. He says, now, if you desire this office, he desires a good work. And he says, but here's some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's some things that he needs to measure up to if he wants to work in this office.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't work, if you find out, one of the things he says is that he has to hold the mystery of the faith in a good conscience. And he has to be apt to teach.
Yep.
So if he doesn't know the mystery of the faith, what really happened at the cross, and if he's not able to teach it, he says, well, you might want to do something else.
Somebody else called.
Because you might mess up the building.
Yeah.
My beautiful wife, she likes to help out at home. She said, anything I can help you with? No. Sorry. Because she wants to help in the projects, you know. But I know.
Watch it.
She can't measure. She can't hammer.
Oh, you're like me.
She can't nail. She can't drill. So why would I do that? Why would I put her in a position, set her up for failure? That'll make sense. So I said, I tell you what, you helping me just fine sitting in that chair. Just relax. And when I'm done, you know, she don't take it personal. She know
it. That's it. Honey, pass me those pills.
But there are things that we do she can handle this. And then she knows, she say, I can't do this. I'm not a man like you. Well, anyway, thank you so much for your questions and time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent around your word. Lord, take these things, we pray, and just help us meditate on it to make it more clear to us, and help us when we go over it to make the things a little more clear, that we can see the total victory that you have given us, that you have accomplished for yourself. And one day you will prove to the world who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the accomplishments that you have already achieved by your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you once again for the word. Lord, we just pray that as we take these things in, it's building us up more and more in the faith, and Christ is being formed more and more in us as we read it. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Good.